for coming back and being on the edge with me and my brains. I'm so excited. You are such a friend to the show. You are. You are such
well, we'll see, won't we? After this, you may not have anyone else join. You understand that?
No. We gonna get it in because you are someone that is going to come with a fresh perspective, and I got some questions for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Everybody, you know, we can agree to disagree and not be disagreeable, right?
No. We have to be disagreeable when you're disagreeing with the President of the United States. You cannot disagree with what's happening in this country in an agreeable manner. Absolutely not. We have to be so disagreeable that this nonsense stops. That young man that was killed a couple of weeks ago, simply because two people were out on a hunting spree, which is what it amounts to, and found a target in a black man. If people aren't disagreeable about that loudly and at length and with power, we'll never stop this thing. No, I won't agree that I don't have to be disagreeable, because practically everything I say to melanin-challenged people is disagreeable.
Hmm.
I've been threatened with death more often than that. Go on, what?
Hold on 1 second. I'm wondering why you're sputtering, though. I don't know why I'm not getting a clean...
I don't know. My audio is on. You can't hear me well?
Yeah, but the video, you're kind of...
My video bounces back a bit? I don't know.
That's a little bit better. But you know what? I understand what you're saying. So, Brains, let me introduce you to Jane Elliott, okay? If you don't know, you better know. And you're going to know by the end of this conversation who she is. She's a former third grade teacher that created this amazing experiment to explain the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King to her third grade class. It was called the Blue-Eyed, Brown-Eyed Project. Basically, what it did is she separated the blue-eyed children from the brown-eyed children and subjected the blue-eyed children to racial discrimination and just unfair treatment to give them a taste of what people my skin color and darker have been experiencing since the turn of time. She is a civil rights activist. She's an educator. She's a strong advocate for the LGBT community, LGBTQ plus community. Let me get that right. I get a comment. You know, and she's just a trailblazer and no holes barred. Okay, she gonna say some shit that is gonna get you fired up. And if you like it, great. If you don't, great, because it's gonna make you think. So welcome again to The Edge, Jane. Thank you so much for coming back for the third time. I love you so much. First of all, before we get started, how is life treating you? Are you, you know, are you there up in Temecula doing okay?
No, I'm not in Temecula anymore. I spend my summers in Iowa. We drove, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we drove back to Iowa this year because I refused to fly in a flying petri dish. I cannot fly as long as we have this problem with coronavirus. So we drove all the way back. My grandson took me to Denver, and then a son and my nephew came to Denver from Iowa and brought me the rest of the way home. I'm here in Iowa because there's less coronavirus in Iowa than there is in California. I would have stayed there longer this year, but for the presence of coronavirus.
Okay, so, I mean, what's the climate, though, you know, because what's the diversity level?
It's always been. The same as it's like 92 or 96% white.
Right.
And 90% people who say we're Christian and about 25% who really are. And that's a horrible accusation to make, but that's the way it is in this country. We claim to be Christians and we refuse to act like Christians. Jesus would not be welcome in most
communities. He done showed up and showed out. Perfect pause. Okay, you will keep your punished, everybody in society. You will stay in your house. There's a plague outside. You better worry about what you eat, and you better worry about the demons that you listen to. Let's talk a little bit about emotional intelligence, Jane, because folks are lacking it. Okay, that's the big thing, you know, in business now is emotional capital. And we are suffering right now because folks are not smart. They're acting on their ignorance. What are you seeing going on in the world?
Number one, I think folks are smart and they're smart enough not to rock the damn boat.
Mm.
That's what's going on. We're trying very, very hard to live down to the expectations of our boy grown tall leader. And because we're doing that, we are managing to absolutely ignore the fact that his emotional intelligence level is about the level of a 7-year-old. We have to realize that we are being led by a person who is obviously a case of arrested development. You have 3 ego states, child, parent, and adult. He has never progressed out past the parent ego state, and he spends all his time either in his child or his parent ego state. He seems to have no adult ego state. And if you have people who are neo-Nazis or who are members of the group that think that white is right and that there is such a thing as white, which there isn't, they will follow his lead very quickly and very easily because he appeals to their ego state. They want to stay childlike or be parent-like, but they do not want to act like adults. And that's the major problem in this country today. We do not encourage, or we don't discourage people staying in their child and parent ego state, but we discourage them from coming into their adult ego state, because when I'm in my adult ego state, you have to be in your adult ego state.
Right, right. And they have to follow along with the rules.
But if he's in his parent ego state all the time, then people who follow him have to be in their child ego state in order to get along with him. And people who don't understand this need to get the book. The simple way to understand it is to get the book TA for Teens. And in that book, there are pages with the sentences that we say when we're in our child ego state, in our parent ego state, and in our adult ego state. And most of his expressions come out of the child ego state. You have to realize that he is not fit to be president of the United States, and that's our problem. We have a person who isn't fit for the job he holds.
He's the president of the damn glee club, okay?
Well, I don't care. I don't know whether he can sing, but I know that as a female, I wouldn't want to stand next to him.
Right.
And I keep thinking every time he says, wash your hands, I think, do you wash your hands before or after you grab a woman by her crotch?
Wow. So let's talk about the sycophants that follow him. As far as the administration, I think that scares me more so. Not him, because he's not a leader. You know, he's going all kind of trickery. But all of these Republicans that are following him, what happened to the Republican Party?
Well, they took the L out of the word. They become Republicans.
Ooh.
This, think about it. Just think about it. If they follow him right through, if we no longer have a Republican Party, we have a following Trump party. We have a Trump party. And you need to realize that they have to follow him because he is the one who decides where the funds from the Republican National Committee will be sent. If you want funds to run your campaign, you'd better get along with the person who directs where those funds will be sent. And the same thing is true for Mitch McConnell. He is running the show. And these are 2 really ugly people to be running the show. They are not Republicans. They're something else entirely. They are oligarchs. They want this to be an oligarchy. We are, as far as I'm concerned, and I've lived a long time, obviously, whether people want me to or not, we need to remember that what we're going through now is what we went through during the days of the robber barons. And the country was run by the people with lots and lots of money. It took Theodore Roosevelt and then Franklin Roosevelt to change that situation. Now we're going to have that happen with this next election. We have to elect someone like a Theodore Roosevelt or like a Franklin Roosevelt in order to change this thing.
And so you think that it's that old slow-ass Joe? I ain't feeling Joe.
I think of the people who are qualified to run for the presidency, Joe Biden is the only one right now. There are lots of people who think they're qualified. Trump thought he was qualified. Joe Biden knows what Barack Obama taught him. Joe Biden was there before Barack Obama, during Barack Obama, and now he's there after Barack Obama. And now he sees the wisdom in many of the things that Barack Obama tried to do and couldn't get done because Mitch McConnell would refuse to allow any of the things that he wanted done to get through the Senate. So
right. he won't even let people testify.
He knows how to keep the lid on. But the lid's going to get knocked off with this next election. This virus, probably, I hate to say this, but it may be one of the best things that has happened to us in a while, because it has made people think, what if he had done the right thing in the first place? What if he had ever told the truth? What if what he is saying to us now is just another lie? I think it's in Shakespeare, it says, liars will not be believed, forsooth, even when liars tell the truth. even if Donald Trump tells us the truth, we won't believe it because he has lied so often. And this virus and his lie about this virus has cost, what, 76,000 American lives now. 76,000. That is 76 villages the size of Riceville, Iowa, where I was born, where I was raised. 76 villages of that size have disappeared now. People need to realize that this isn't going to stop just because he says it will. He has proven that he cannot stop this virus. And he calls it an enemy. It's not an enemy. It's a natural disaster, and we need to deal with it.
It's a pandemic, absolutely. So now tell us, I want you to recap something that you shared with me and my brains a while ago about, you know, the position of abortion and whites feeling that they are soon to be the minority.
Well, they're going to be the nine. They are going. Now, number one, I have a problem with white, because if you look at me, you'll see that this shirt is white. Okay. This skin is not. The word white is a misnomer. We aren't white. We are lots of colors, but we are not white. We are all shades of tan and brown and black. There's no such thing as a white person, except in, where is it? There's a country in Africa, Tanzania, where there's a huge population of albinos. You need to take a look at that strip, that thing that you can get on Google. Google albino, albinism in Tanzania is just amazing. People need to realize that white is a misnomer. There's no such thing as a white person. When we invaded this country, the United States of America, the native inhabitants called us pale faces. That's exactly what we are. But what we really are is faded folks. Inside, in the DNA of every human being on the face of the earth, every human being on the face of the earth runs the DNA of those first black modern human beings who evolved in sub-Saharan Africa from 300,000 to 500,000 years ago. You and I are 30th to 50th cousins. Get that into your head, because that's the way it is. Now, Mr. Trump has decided, because probably somebody, I know who probably talked to him, the man who wrote the book, The Birth Dearth, Ben Wattenberg, was a brilliant Jewish man who said, he wrote a book called The Birth Dearth in 1987. And at that time, the first paragraph in that book said, the number one problem confronting the United States today is there are too few white people being born in this country. If we do not change this situation and change it rapidly, white people will become a numerical minority in the United States, and this will no longer be a white man's land. Now, that was in the first paragraph of that book, the first edition of that book. He has since, because he got a whole lot of complaints about that book and about the information that was in it, he rewrote the book and filled the next one with statistics. Benjamin Disraeli said there are three kinds of lies: lies, damn lies, and statistics. Those statistics are lies about what is happening in this country. But Ben Wattenberg was right. Within 30 years, white people will have become a numerical minority in the United States of America. That's a fact. Now, Ben Wattenberg was a member of the American Enterprise Institute, and he gave advice to presidents of the United States. One of the pieces of advice that he gave them was, do something about the lack.
Hold on. Hold on. One second. Hold on. It became unstable.
I've been unstable for years.
No, you are stable. All right, you're good now. But pick it up where you left off.
He was a member of the American Enterprise Institute. He gave advice to presidents of the United States until he died about 3 years ago. Now, you need to realize that what Trump is doing right now is responding to his fear that there aren't enough white babies being born in this country today. In 1987, 60% of the fetuses that were aborted were white. Today, in the 3 years ago, only 39% of the fetuses that were aborted were white. We're making progress on cutting down the number, increasing the number of white births. You need to realize that. He right. said in his book that there are three things we can do to solve this problem. Number one, we can change the number of immigrants allowed into this country. Then he said, unfortunately, the vast number of those who want to come to this country today are people of color, so we don't want to do that. he said we could change the, we could realize that 60% of the fetuses that are aborted are white. We could do something about that. So we are now closing Planned Parenthood clinics in the mistaken notion that all that happens in Planned Parenthood clinics is abortion. That's not what Planned Parenthood clinics are mostly for. And we are closing them in most Black communities because we don't care whether Black women have abortions. You have to realize that this whole thing is all about attempts to keep white people who don't exist in the numerical majority in the United States. That's what it's about. If you think it's about anything else, you're wrong. This is racism.
What do you think about this coronavirus? Do you think that a nice little family of four Asians sat down and ate a couple bats and it created this coronavirus?
Hell no. Hell no. This is the result of things like swine flu and SARS and MERS and all those problems mutating. We have a mutated virus here. And viruses keep on mutating, and they mutate faster than humans do. The only reason we have white people is because of mutation. Some mutation isn't all that bad. White people mutated from Black people.
But it keeps them going. It keeps going. But, you know, but why? Okay, so it's mutating. I get that. But why is it mutating and killing Black folks, people of color, Asian? I mean,
Because we put Black folks and people of color in situations where they are crowded together, where they are in poverty, where they don't have resources that will give them good medical attention, because we think that their lives are less valuable than white lives. Make no mistake about
this. You know what? And I can agree to disagree with that, because I'm living large, okay? And always have, you know, and I say that humbly, but I have great medical insurance. Everybody that I know in my circle of influence that are Black people are not crowded together. I don't know if this is something that is attached to our DNA.
It's not attached to your DNA. It's attached to white people's ignorance. For instance, a group of midwives in Los Angeles called me two or three years ago and asked me if I would come and talk to them. I said, why do you want me to talk to you? I don't know anything about medicine. I was delivered of four children, but I was just the carrier. I wasn't the deliverer. I don't know anything about medicine. She said, that isn't the reason we want to talk to you. We want you to talk to us because we are registered nurses. We all worked in delivery rooms. And we know from watching that Black and brown women don't get the same level of treatment in delivery rooms that white women do. Don't tell me it's DNA. Don't you dare say that, because that's not the reason for this problem. The reason for this problem is ignorance. White people believe the myth of race. And that's another thing we have to deal with. The myth of race isn't a myth. We come up with a myth to explain phenomena in nature that we don't understand. That's a myth. Lies are something we come up with to justify our unpleasant behavior. And that's how the lie of racism started between 500 and 600 years ago. People think this has been going on forever. No, it hasn't. During the Spanish Inquisition, the Spanish were killing people in order to convince them to become Christians. They had killed a whole mess of Christians before they realized that those people were Christians and you couldn't tell what a person's religion was by looking at them. So they decided they'd have to find another way to decide who it was legal to kill. And they set upon skin color. Now that's when this whole thing got started, and you need to know that. And we need to stop talking about a number of races and stop blaming this on DNA. It isn't DNA. It is, and there's another thing we need to deal with, the difference between de facto and de jure segregation. In this country, we have segregation, and people think, well, it's because people want to be around people who are like themselves. No, it's because the government deliberately legislated segregated communities and schools in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and 50s and 60s, and we're still doing it. We've got to stop blaming this on, well, it's just human nature. It's not human nature. It's human ignorance. And ignorant people could learn. We've got to train. We've got to teach our legislators to stop believing in the lie of race. There's only one race, period. There's no Black, brown, red, yellow, white race. There's only one race, the human race. We are all members of it. And we, all of us, every one of us is a descendant of that first black couple that evolved in sub-Saharan Africa between 300,000 and 500,000 years ago. Scientists, biologists, anthropologists, you name it, they all know that that's the truth. The problem is getting to tell that truth and to force that truth down the throats of our racist white adults.
Well, you know, Jane, you've been subjected to a lot. You know, you've had death threats. You've had to sneak out of hotels and things because people have put a bullseye on your back for speaking, you know, from a multicultural perspective, being a white woman. There, you know, you feel the fear and do it anyway. Why?
Because I'm not afraid to die. My husband died 6.5 years ago, let me tell you. And my son died 1.5 years ago. I'm not afraid to die. That's the least thing that can happen to me. I would rather die than live a meaningless life.
Amen.
And quite, hey, women, be careful now. I absolutely know that if somebody kills me, and when I go on a college campus, I have to remind them of this. Every time I go on a college campus, I'm standing there on the stage, and there are from 200 to 1,500 kids and teachers in front of me. And invariably, there are those three little white boys in the red caps that say, "Make America Hate Again." It says great again, but it makes hate, means hate again on their heads. And they're talking while I am. And I stop and I say, "Look, fellas, I know what you're talking about. You'd like to see me dead. Well, if you kill me because of what I do to attempt to decrease the level of racism in this country, you might make a martyr out of me, and then you might have to spend the rest of your life celebrating Jane Elliott Day once a year. Now, do you want to do that?" And then they all do this. "No, no, no, no." I say, "Fine, then shut up and listen." And they shut up and listen. Now, you see, if somebody shoots me, that gives me, then I'm immortal. Then the idea will live forever. You have to remember that Victor Hugo said, "No power on earth can stop a man with a dream or an idea whose time has come." Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. We killed him because of that dream. It didn't stop the dream. The dream is more alive now than it was when he was living. No power on earth is going to be able to stop the idea of one race, the human race. And I wear this shirt that says,
Pull it down. Pull your screen down so they can see it. That's my, you got a new one. God created one race, the human race. Human beings create racism. I want one. I got to get one.
Well, write to my daughter and have her send you one. I believe that. I know there's no doubt in my mind but what the human race was allowed to grow. And that human race was Homo sapiens. And Homo sapiens are what you and I are descendants, are what you and I are. We are descendants of those first Homo sapiens. By the time their DNA had appeared on the earth, all of Java, for a few thousand years after their DNA appeared on the earth, all of Java man, all of Peking man, and Neanderthal men had disappeared from the face of the earth. But their DNA is in most of us. There's Neanderthal DNA in most of us. And some of us have more than others. Neanderthals, generally speaking, were inclined to abdominal fat, were bullish and brutish, and had orange hair. Can you think of anybody who looks like that or who acts like that?
Girl, please. I have nightmares about it. Make my stomach hurt. Let me ask you this. You were a third grade teacher. Couple things. These parents at home with these little people that they didn't even know who they were, okay? I'm loving it. I'm loving it when these parents are coming online and they are pulling their hair out because the teacher's been telling you all this time. They are really trying to figure out how to navigate and how to parent. Give us some suggestions from being a third grade educator. What can these parents do to kind of normalize and stabilize these children during homeschooling?
First thing they have to do is get a copy of Anthony Browder's book, Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization. Now, I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but Black parents were raised with the same nonsense that their children are being raised with, educated with. They're being educated to the myth of white superiority. You have to realize that 4,000 years, approximately 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Black people were doing cataract surgery with metal instruments in the Nile Valley. Yeah, did you not know that?
Did you know that, brains?
See, people have to realize that when, you know, I pull up to a stop sign here in Osage, Iowa, and a big trucker's back, well, pulls up beside me at the stop sign. He's gunning his motor because he's in a hurry. He's on, you know, he's on a schedule. I look up and I smile at him, and he looks down at me, and I know he thinks that I'm thinking he's cute. What I'm thinking is, look, fool, if you knew that your behavior right now was being directed by a light that was invented by a black man, you'd run that light.
Because right. If he knew if he was talking to, he'd run for
it. And he wouldn't be smiling at me either. He'd turn and run over me. If he knew that every time he puts his shoes on in the morning, he should say thank you to a black man who invented the last for sewing shoes together mechanically. If we knew these things about those who came before us and about the marvelous things that people of color have done, if these children who are being raised by black parents who never learned any of these things, if they would learn these things and teach them to their children, then when their children go to school and they have some teacher, and they will have some teacher who will say, I'm colorblind, I don't see color. When I see people, I don't see people as black or brown or red or yellow, I just see people as people.
And
those kids knew. Yeah, and then kids, then those black kids have to say, you forgot to include white. Do you see white people? Why is it okay to see white people but not the rest of us?
Wow.
Kids have the right to know when a teacher makes a racist remark. Those kids have the right and the responsibility. Kids of all kinds have the responsibility to know the truth and to challenge those who would lie to them.
Mm.
And when inevitably, some white woman will come up to me and say, I'm colorblind, I don't see color. And I say, I knew that before you said it, because if you saw color, you wouldn't wear that shirt with those pants. Immediately, they take offense at that.
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
supposed to be offended by their pretending that they don't see color.
I just see your heart.
I just see, and somebody said that to me not too long ago at a college, and this woman stood up and said, Mrs. Elliott, I just look for the person's heart. And I said, well, isn't that interesting? If you can see my heart from where you're standing, you should go down to the local hospital and volunteer to be their x-ray machine. You can save them a lot of money because you can see my inside. She said, you know what I mean? I said, yeah, I know what you mean. What you're saying is you can't relate to someone of color. So you just pretend you skip their skin. Your skin is the largest organ on your body. How the devil does anybody not see it? They do see it.
Because there's a fear there. But Jane, there's a fear there. And they want us to be translucent. People say we're all the same. We are not all the same, brains. I don't care what you say. Now, we have blood that runs through our veins and all of that. And we're human beings. I get that. But we are not all the same. And I'm not
No. And we shouldn't have to be all the same. But when somebody says we're all the same on the inside, do you think you could impregnate a woman? You?
No. Oh, no.
No? Well, then you aren't the same as my former husband, my late husband. He could have. He did at every opportunity. Do you think that he could have a baby?
No.
No. And the first man who had one, would do away with our population explosion.
Exactly.
Because that's difficult and painful. So no, we aren't all the same on the inside. We don't have to all be of the same on the inside. What we have to be the same in one way, that we accept people as they are, not as we prefer to see them. I want to wear a shirt, what sweatshirt that says, when I see you, I don't see you. Because invariably, someone will say to you, unless I'm mistaken, when I see you, I don't see you black.
Right.
That's by saying, I don't see you. If they don't see your color, they don't see the largest organ on your body, and they don't see the thing that the one thing on which people judge you on a daily basis, that is pure, deep animal manure.
Okay, so we've been pretty hard on white people, okay? Because
not hard enough.
Well, okay, but so now how do we soften it up? How do we educate them to elevate them to at least, you know, find some sort of normalcy, some sort of middle ground? Is it through education? Is it through conversation? What do you recommend?
Well, schooling doesn't work because all we teach, and teaching doesn't work because what our schools are not in the business of educating. Because I'm an educator. The word educator comes from the root duck deuce, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or, which means one who does. An educator is one who is engaged in the act of leading people out of ignorance. That's not what our public, private, and parochial schools do. What we do in our schools is indoctrination. We teach children to behave in certain accepted ways that will perpetuate the United States of America as it is. You do not educate students by teaching them that there are three or four different races. You do not educate students by saying you're a white boy and you're a black boy and with the and but you're the same on the inside. That is nonsense. Number one, that kid isn't a white boy. That kid is a brown or tan or beige or golden boy, but that kid's not a white boy. We need to stop. We start preschool now. It used to be kindergarten, but not in preschool. We hand these kids a box of crayons, Crayola crayons, and we say, this is white. And then the kid who calls himself white looks at that color and puts it at his skin and knows that somebody's lying to him. Either that crayon is white or he's white, but they can't both be white. We start cognitive dissonance when we start kids in preschool, and we work at it. We know exactly how to do it. Most teachers in this country are not aware of what racism really is. We think it's something in the South, or we think it's something in the ghetto. We don't realize that it's something in the classroom. It's something in the boardroom. It's something in the field. It's something on the floor, in the gymnasium. It's something on the athletic field. It's something in the supermarket.
Yeah, well, it's taught at home. You know, kids, well, you see kids go outside.
But that's what the parents have learned.
Right.
You can't teach what you don't know. Yeah, but you can't teach what you don't know. So in order for parents to know what they don't know, they need to read the book, The Color of Law. Have you read that book? I'm sure you haven't, because nobody does.
I got to put it on my reading list. The Color
of Law. Put that on your reading list. Everybody has to read the book, The Color of Law, because it says things like this, and I dug it out. If segregation was created by accident or by an undefined private prejudice, it is too easy to believe that can only be reversed by accident or in some mysterious way by changes in people's hearts. But if we, the public and policy members, acknowledge that the federal, state, and local governments segregated our metropolitan areas, we may open our minds to considering how those same federal, state, and local governments might adapt equally aggressive policies to desegregate. Now, we could desegregate if we chose to. We could say to ourselves, the founding fathers were racist, period. No doubt about it. Absolutely. You write a constitution that gives women what? Less respect than a man, and a black person was three-fourths of a person or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You write a constitution like that. You're writing it out of ignorance. Now, Thomas Jefferson was brilliant, but he wrote that constitution to support the myth of white superiority. And it is a myth. If white people would just get it into their heads that skin color does not define you, does not predict your ability to think, to reason, or to act like a competent human being. Don't pay any attention to that. As my telephone, it'll stop.
All right, that's all right. You can answer it. Go ahead and answer it. I'll put you on pause.
That's all right. No, it stopped. Okay. I'll answer. If they want to say something, they'll send me on page. You have to get this book. And then if you just read pages 216 and 217, it says things like, if police had arrested rather than encouraged leaders of mob violence when African-Americans moved into previously white neighborhoods, racial transitions would have been smoother. If we had arrested the people whom Mr. Trump said, there are good people on both sides.
No,
there weren't good people on both sides. There were bad people on one side, and good people were reacting to bad behavior. But if you say there are good people on both sides, then you have to accept racist behaviors. I refuse to accept it. And that's why I say,
I don't tolerate it. You know,
I not only do I not tolerate it, I will be disagreeable in that disagreement. Because there is no sound basis for the myth of white superiority. There is no proof that it's true.
Absolutely. We can agree to disagree and have a spirited conversation, but you come at me with some craziness and I'm going to check your ass in a heartbeat, okay? I don't unfriend you, block you, all of that. Talk about your mama. No.
We don't want to talk about my mama, because she taught racism and ageism and sexism and all of it. And my dad,
Your mom did?
But my dad, on the other hand, said, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And he said, you know the difference between right and wrong. Now do the right thing, goddammit. And we knew the difference between right and wrong. He said, don't judge a man by what he does. Judge him by what he has to do.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question about some of the other political leaders here. Now, I'm thinking that I really like this Cuomo and I like Newsom. They nice little snacks. What do you think about their leadership?
Cuomo?
Yeah.
I think he's a terrific. He's a governor. I think he's a terrific governor. I think he doesn't want to be president. I think he doesn't want to be president because he knows there's a whole lot more to being president than there is to being governor.
A whole lot of trickery. A whole lot.
I think he knows where the bodies are buried and he doesn't want to get into that situation. I think he knows how ugly that would be. I think being the mayor, the governor of, he's the governor, right?
Right.
And de Blasio is the mayor. I think those two men know a whole lot more than have forgotten more since breakfast than Donald Trump will ever know. But they have had to learn a lot more, and that's the reason they've had more to forget. I think he'd be a terrific president, but I don't think he ever will.
You know what? Someone brought this to my attention. They said that when Trump leaves office, that they should hold him accountable for war crimes.
Well, but you have to realize that the reason he doesn't want to leave office is because the minute he leaves office, then he can be arrested for the crimes he committed in New York State before he became the presidency. That's the only reason he wants to stay in the presidency as long as he can. And then if he can just get a Republican to replace him, then that person will pardon him. But he can pardon him for federal crimes. He can't pardon him for crimes that he committed in New York State. And that's the reason the man no longer lives in New York. Now he lives in Florida. Mm-hmm. This guy's got it all figured out. He thinks he's got it all figured out. He doesn't know from up when it comes to governing. He knows about making money, but he doesn't know about holding on to it. He's been bankrupt four times.
He's going to bankrupt this country.
It's already
bankrupt. You know, $2 trillion. Where did that come from, Jane?
Well, it's going to come from the taxpayers. Make no mistake about that.
It's just printed.
It can't come from the taxpayers when we aren't paying as many taxes because we aren't employed. When so many are unemployed, then we get a whole lot less revenue for the government. So the thing just snowballs, and it's going to get worse and worse until November when somebody else gets to be the president. Now, with an advisor like Barack Obama, Joe Biden will be a good president for 4 years, and then he will be too old for that job, and he'll resign and he will be replaced by somebody else who's younger. And who knows the whole thing because they've watched it. And I suspect that that's the woman from Georgia.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. And I'll say this publicly, that I think that part of being a man is sowing your oats. And I think that at one particular point, women and men have said inappropriate things and done things. Is there redemption? Absolutely. Do we learn from our mistakes? Absolutely. But to sit up there and inject a black woman as your running mate automatically, you know, you're assuming that you're going to get the black vote. I'm not feeling that. Okay. The last election, you know what I did? You know, it said write in. I'm a post-it. I wrote my own name in. It took two
years to get the right vote. I can't go along with that because every vote that Hillary didn't get made it more likely that Trump would be president. I don't think that's a good way to protest. If you're going to protest, write in a name of somebody running for that office against the person that you despise. It was difficult for me to vote for Hillary. However, I knew if I didn't vote for Hillary, that was like giving Donald Trump a vote. And there's no way I was going to do that. No way. Well,
I don't think he's going to be reelected, but you know, they've got all this trickery going on at the post office. No mail-in ballots. You know, they've got people doing the slide things.
You have to remember that he wasn't elected the last time.
Right.
He was selected by four states' electoral colleges who obviously didn't know what Jefferson put the electoral college into the Constitution for. It was to see to it that no one who was unfit for the presidency would ever be elected. Now, if the members of the Electoral College in those four states had known that, they knew that he wasn't fit, they would not have voted for him. I know these folks aren't stupid, but it's like all the rest of us. We haven't been taught the truth about what's going on. We haven't been taught the truth about race. And as long as you have somebody who can play on the ignorance of those who believe that there are three or four different races, you will have this kind of outcome in an election. That's the way it is. As long as we have racism, we're going to elect racist leaders. This man is a blatant racist, sexist, ageist, homophobic, ethnocentrist. But he couldn't pronounce ethnocentrist if he had to. Because I think he is slightly dyslexic, I'm not sure, but I think he has a slight reading and spelling problem.
Right, bless his heart, bless his heart.
No, don't bless his heart, don't bless his heart. Do not do that.
But that's what you have to do to heal. You know, that's all right. I don't want any harm to come to him. I just want him to get the hell out of my way. I don't want no harm to him because I'm not that kind of person. That's not going to change things. That's not going to change the heart or the trajectory of what we need to do right now.
As long as you say bless him about him, that means, see, I'm all right. I've got her fooled. No, I don't say bless him. I say God will deal with you, friend. Mm-hmm. And you ain't going to like it. But it's not up to me to tell God what to do, but I'm telling you that I wouldn't say bless his heart about this man, because I say bless you about a baby. I say bless you about when my father was dying. I said bless you to my husband when he was dying. This, I do not offer the same blessing to those people, and that's the reason I would not bless this man.
Nancy Pelosi, don't pray for him, right?
No. Get off your knees and get busy. Don't worry about praying for it.
That is crazy. So you had an opportunity to be on the Red Table Talk with Jada Pinkett.
Yep.
How was that? Was that an interesting experience?
She has one of the most brilliant daughters that I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
What's her name? Willow is brilliant. And the white woman that they brought down before they brought me on, they brought down a white woman to give them the white perspective. And I was standing out there and watching this. And Willow was sitting there picking at her jeans. You know, she has those jeans that are chemically made worn out. My kids had to wear those because they wore out their jeans. But she's picking at the frayed spot. And I said to the black man standing there, that girl is bored to death. And he said, oh, she's nervous. I said, she's bored to death. And so I went on, and Willow, about the first three words I said, Willow stopped picking at her jeans. She leaned forward, and pretty soon she was at me like, what are you, some kind of a nut? And when we got done, Willow came racing over to me and said, we could go on the road together. You and I could be a show together. I said, let me know when you want to go. She is just delightful. And I think that it was an interesting experience. But when I said to that group of women, the girl, her mother, and her grandmother, right, three generations there, I said, how long do you think this has been going on? And they all said, well, forever. You see, we're being lied to. It hasn't been going on forever. God didn't design this. This was designed in about in the 15 and 1600s. It hasn't been going on forever. We created racism. Anything you create, you can destroy. We can destroy racism if we choose to. Make no mistake about that. I destroyed racism in my third graders' heads every year I taught third grade, except for two after that first exercise. And my third graders would go up into junior high. I'll never forget, my sister was substituting at the junior high level for 2 weeks, and she came home after the first week and said, oh, Jane, something ugly's happening up there. I said, what's going on, Mary? She said, well, the English teacher said, use the N-word in the classroom. And one of your former students said, Mrs. K, we don't use that word in this school. And if you're going to use it, I'm going to go out in the hall until you stop.
Wow.
You see, you can destroy racism if you work at it hard enough. You can convince. And you, in the Bible, it says, and a child shall lead them. Those third graders in that community led their parents in ways that they hadn't been led in before because they had gone through the exercise.
Wow. Well, you have just been such a wealth of information. Thank you so much. I'm glad that you're doing well. You're looking well. Give our brains some information on how to get in contact with you, how to follow you, and how to get a shirt. And then also, I'm going to take that information because I got to get one. Do you still have the other shirts with the emotional ignorance on there?
Yeah, I have the one. I have one that says prejudice is an emotional commitment.
Hold on, you're unstable. Give it a second. Hold on, give it a
minute. My daughter's having those printed. If you want,
we got
call Mary Elliott.
Let's do it again because it sputtered. Okay. And Jane, please give us information on how we can purchase a shirt, get, you know, books, get information, and follow you.
Okay. Mary at janeelliott.com is how you purchase the t-shirts. You can get in touch with me by sending me an email to elliott.blibri@gmail.com. Now, make no mistake about this. I do not read hate mail. So if you're going to send me some hate mail, you need to realize that I will look at the first three words and say, well, that's interesting, and you wasted your time, and I will delete it because I don't have to put up with that anymore.
That's right.
I thought for a while that I was going to write a book, and on the left side, left page, I was going to put a piece of hate mail. And on the right page, I was going to put a piece of the mail that people who understand what I'm doing, how they respond to what I did. And then I realized if I did that, that would give the haters another platform. See, lots of people can read what I said. And I just said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. No. So I just delete that. When I get hate mail, I delete it. When I get hate mail in the mail, I burn it. I don't need it. I've had all that. I know whether I'm right.
Well, you are right. And I am so glad that you are righteous here with me. I love you and I adore you from the bottom of my socks because my heart is just not deep enough. Thank you for keep coming back and doing the work that you do. And I'm with you, my sister. I am with you 110%.
But I'm not your sister. I'm your cousin.
Oh, okay. All right.
I am your cousin. For real. I am for real your cousin. Yeah. And everybody has to get a copy of this. Can you see this?
Okay, wait. Yeah, but wait. Let me put you on. Yeah, wait a minute. I'm not seeing. Yeah, hold it really steady. Okay, there it is. Pull it down just a teeny bit.
This is the Peter's projection map. And you get a picture in your mind of the map that you usually see with Greenland hanging down in the middle like a great big ripe plum. That's right. The Mercator projection map. This is a map that is fair to all the peoples of the world. And look at Greenland up here, this little tiny thing. At the bottom of the Mercator map, on the legend, it says South America is actually 9 times larger than Greenland. But on the map, Greenland is huge. On this map, South America is 9 times larger than Greenland. This is a map that is fair to all the peoples of the world. If you want me to send you one of these, I will. Or if you want to go to odtmaps.com, they will send you samples of this.
What is the significance of that, Jane? Why should we have that, and why should we know that?
Because it tells the truth. On this map, the shapes are distorted, but the sizes and the locations are right. On the Mercator map, the equator is 2/3 of the way down the map. And you have to realize that the Mercator map, Mercator was commissioned by the Pope to make a map that showed the spread of Christianity. So the white countries on that map are bigger than the countries below the equator. And the equator is 2/3 of the way down the map. That's just one of the things that's wrong with that map. You ought to get the Mercator map out, then get this out, and compare those two, and then you'll see why it's necessary that we start using this map in the schools of this country. They're using these two years ago, they put these in every one of the Boston public school classrooms because they had seen me talk about it on the Oprah show. And they investigated it and realized that I was right. This is the map we should be using in the schools instead of the Mercator projection map.
Wow. All right. Well, we're definitely going to get one.
Yep. If you get one, you'll get hundreds because you'll want every person you know to have one.
All right.
I give them, when I go on college campuses now, I hand out these. I get done speaking, I say, now, here's your gift for the day. And those kids just grab those. They're all postcard-sized maps. And grab those maps and hold them in their hands because this is proof that they were there, number one, and proof that they learned something.
Right. Well, you can never not learn something by talking to you. I thank you so much for being here on the edge. Let me know when this corona thing calms down and you back down this way. We can have some coffee or some danishes, okay? And be good. Be careful about eating the meat there in Iowa. I heard that the Tyson Farms is having some problems, so watch your chicken and your pork.
Hog problems are having a problem in Iowa, and that's too bad.
Well, you know what? That's a part of the process, going back to eating plant-based diets. So thank you so much, Jane Elliott, for being here on the edge. I just love you so much.
Well, thank you, and I love you too, and remember, I'm your cousin.
All right, brains. Okay, check out Jane Elliott. Go back and check out other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio, On the Edge with April Mahoney. We are on Spotify, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. We are here in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, in your psyche. Cut out the racism. It's a waste of time.
And money and energy.
Say bye to my brains, Jane.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.